Intervju Radija Študent.
Pozdravljeni v Eriš intervjuju, ker danes gostimo sijetelski psihadelični trio Night Beats, ki so v sklopu promocijske turneje za zadnjo ploščo Sonic Bloom nocoj predstavljajo na Fave dogodku v Channel Zero. Pa da ne bi dogovezili, pustimo, da nam kaj povedo sami, še prej pa naslednja skladba.
In my father.
Z nami so Night Beats. Hello Danny, hello James, hello Tarek.
Hello.
Howdy.
It's nice to have you here on our radio.
Thanks,
so,
man.
How are you doing?
Doing good.
Pretty good.
Doing all right.
Tired?
How about you?
Nah, not today.
Rested.
Never.
Never.
Rested.
This is your second time in Europe since you started the tour in last September. Meanwhile, you visited South Africa.
Yes.
Among the other places. So tell me, how is it different for the band this time around in Europe?
We're trying to do some different kind of venues and stuff. Different kind of... right now it's festivals, mostly because mm-hmm. it's the season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's mostly festivals. We're hitting different cities that we haven't hit before, and it's been great. So seeing different places and trying new things, it's been fun. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Guys in the end? whiskey head.
I got nothing.
That's not it. So you're on tour with DJ Al Lover again?
Yes. The
second
man.
Time around, the supreme DJ Al Lover.
Yeah, master plan.
And how you guys met?
It was a long time ago. It must have been in 82. Was it 82? 92. 93. 73. I don't know. Well, we played together. He made a remix of our song H-Bomb. And from there, we just, I don't know, kept in contact. And he's been doing some really amazing shit. He just did something with GOAT, a remix, a six-song remix album that I think sold out in about 3 minutes or 3 hours. I don't know, some very short amount of time. And he does a lot of stuff for Austin Psych Fest down in Texas. Mm-hmm. So he does amazing playlists and just different remixes of a lot of good music. A lot of, you don't see a lot of DJs enter that realm of music. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty...
But he does it every night. It's
yeah,
crazy.
It's pretty bold.
Sets himself apart.
Mostly he's bold.
He's bolding.
He's like the bold American flavor of Jesus.
He's like not the nature flavor, he's the cool American.
It's like not quite paprika either, it's like more like straight up barbecued.
Yeah.
Carolina style.
Carolina. Exactly. They need to make a new Al Lover Carolina chip. It's in the works.
It's interesting how your music has a lot in common with traditional rock and roll as opposed to your contemporaries in so-called psychedelic garage rock revival. Is the reason the music from Austin you grew up with?
Well, we didn't grow up in Austin.
I know, but you grew up near Austin.
Two of us did. Me and Traeger here, we grew up in Dallas, and Traeger grew up in Washington.
Yeah.
So, I guess, what was the question now?
If is the reason the music from Austin you grew up with that it has the rock and roll feeling?
Sure. Well, there's a lot of rock and roll in Texas, period. Austin is singular in having that. There's a lot of modern psychedelic music coming out of it these days since like early 2000s or mid 2000s. So that's there, but we don't necessarily try to, you know,
we're
sound
not
like that.
Yeah, we're not revivalists.
It's not a sound that we're going for. If it happens, it happens.
It happens, it happens. I don't think if you shoot to make psychedelic music, then you're doing it wrong. I don't think it's really the idea. I think if you're like a lot, we get asked a lot of times, like, how do you define psychedelic or how do you feel about psychedelic music? How does it influence you? And I think it's a mistake if you're trying to define it. So what happens, happens. Rock and roll is basically the one honest, true label I think we can align with.
Mm-hmm. So that's, yeah, we never call ourselves psychedelic. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I do get there. It doesn't have anything to do with music, man. It's like more colors and like outer space or something.
Tastes and sofas.
And how was it growing up in Dallas?
Pretty boring.
It sucked, man. I mean, aside from the food and the family, like, there's nothing really. Yeah, I mean, I can speak for myself and saying I love Texas and I think
I think you know I do.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty, about that.
I think it's pretty clear that
yeah, but you know, it's we grew up in the suburbs, man. We didn't really have
I think we both got out of Dallas as quickly as we could.
Yeah.
So that speaks for itself.
Yeah.
And then the Nightbeats story started.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, Night, you mean you do that?
I grew up in do it. Right. What are you gonna do?
Well, I'll just explain the birth of Nightbeats.
I grew up in the suburbs of Seattle. Show.
Yeah.
Not as boring.
He moved to Seattle, and I moved to Austin. Then he called me up to Seattle, moved up there, and Tarek was like the first thing on our mind for bassist. And then we got that real quick, and then we hit the road like a week later, and then it's just been nonstop since.
Hey man, that's not what I heard.
So.
Well, there's a lot of things going on.
Well, you know. Nightbeats was just a project that I had in mind for a while. And it was home recordings and stuff. And after trying out a couple different weird outfits, it landed on the True Form, which is Jim Traeger and Tarek Wigner. And pretty much instantly, we pressed a 7-inch on Trouble in Mind Records in 2010. And that same year, just went straight on tour. Because it's like, well, what else are you supposed to do? Like, being bands that just kind of create and then they sit around and
they're
like,
waiting for something.
Waiting for something, that's what's gonna happen. So just create your own stuff. I don't know.
We wanted to play music.
You hear that a lot on the road with bands you play with, is that they're always waiting for something to happen for them to do it, and that's not the approach we've taken at all.
Yeah.
And you prefer live shows?
I wouldn't say that. I think there's magic in recording studio, and there's magic in writing live. There's magic in performing live. You know, sometimes writing takes place while we're playing live. You know, mm-hmm. sometimes stuff just happens. There's no formula. There's no rules. Mm-hmm. So
we would suck if we didn't play all the time, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be that great at all.
You mentioned you moved to Seattle. Mm-hmm. Why Seattle of all the places?
It was basically an attempt to not follow the herd. Mm-hmm. A lot of people in Texas, they move to Austin. They're trying to do something different, and a lot of people move. You know, just the big cities where they know this industry. There's LA, Chicago, New York, and then Seattle has a history of music that I really love. Like, there's a lot of like cool grunge music, and mm-hmm. even back in the day with like Hendrix and Quincy Jones, Ray Charles, like a bunch of people, like that was their port for soul and jazz and stuff. So it's just a city that I kind of connected with. I mean, I was there when I was like 6 one time, and I liked the Mariners and the Supersonics. Mm-hmm. So like, I don't know. It was one of those, and I got into a school there. So I tried to do that for a little while. That didn't really work out because I was doing music. So yeah, not that.
And how did the city help you grow as a musician?
Me personally?
All of you.
Well, I'll start. It gave me a good motivation because I didn't know anybody. I didn't know a single thing about anything. So I would just go out and watch shows like I did in Dallas, but there's a lot more shows and a lot more places to see shows and a lot more people that actually gave a shit about like doing something, mm-hmm. not for the payoff of like opening for like Alice in Chains, or that's a bad example, opening for, you know, like some big like corporate rock band in Dallas, mm-hmm. you know. So, you know, the cool stuff that I cling to was, you know, seeing people doing stuff on their own for the first time and giving me enough space to write freely, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I was alone, so mm-hmm. that's cool. Yeah. No distractions.
What about you two?
It's going to somewhere where no one knew who I was and just starting over, and it was cool. That's kind of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Total freedom to do whatever I wanted to do.
Yeah, there's so many shows and opportunities for like, and like pretty cool little, at that time, there was a lot of cool little venues and stuff that you could kind of just get a show there, like no matter who you were, and it was interesting to see. A lot of it was a complete bullshit, but a lot of it was pretty funny, or like some like a bunch of startup bands that never really did anything, but it was fun to play. And like I was in a different band. We used to just like throw together these weird shows in Seattle at the time, like parties and small venues. But it was kind of the funnest times.
Yeah, there's no such thing as that.
It was pretty free. It was lots of freedom. You didn't have to sell tickets to go to the shows. People, there was lots of foot traffic and people going to see that shit anyway, so pretty cool.
Nice. Yeah. Okay, we will have a short break.
Cool.
Music break. Torej pred nadaljevanjem prisluhnimo skladbi iz njihove aktualne plošče Sonic Boom, ki nosi naslov Hidden Circle.
Y'all make sure to tune back in. Yeah.
nazaj smo v Eriš intervjuju, z nami so Night Blooms, Beats, se upravičujem.
Beats.
You like to explore different genres, and on the new album Sonic Bloom, this is particularly vivid. Can you tell us how did your new album come up? What kind of music inspired you this time around?
Compared to the last one?
Yeah.
That's a special question. Well, we kind of just, I think we were just going off of what we already did and we wanted to do something else.
Yeah, we just wrote new songs and at that time we toured probably about like a year and a half straight. So you might be able to hear some of that in there.
We kind of lost touch with what we were doing on the first record, which is a good thing because we changed it.
We had to explore a whole lot of new, or just go out and see and explore different bands and sounds that we hadn't really gotten too much exposure to, and then got to mess around with whatever
we felt like
came through after hearing that.
We kind of took our time recording too.
Yeah.
Yep.
So time and exploration.
And when do you have time for writing music?
Hardly ever.
Yeah.
Well, writing.
Well, it depends on what you mean.
We can.
Because
recording, never.
Writing is a constant thing, as far as I'm concerned. I think we could all agree.
Yeah.
So like, sitting down in a room with a pen and a guitar. You don't plan it, and like we don't set time to be like, okay guys, now we're gonna write a song today. It's just like, well, this is what happened, here we go. And recording, through our recording process, we generally do writing while we're recording. We add parts, take away parts, change things, change lyrics, rewrite stuff. So songs are birthed anywhere, like in the van today. You know, I had an idea for something. I didn't write it down, but it's in here. So, it's just, it's second nature, I guess.
That's kind of the way we do it, probably because, I don't know, it gives you more in the studio because we have all these, like, sloppy, globbed up ideas in our heads instead of, like, we never get to sit down and play music. They get pissed off at us during sound checks if we mess around too much.
Yeah.
But then once we get in the studio, it kind of explodes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Out of our eyes and anus.
And our anus is our third anus.
That's the bloom, you know?
Yeah.
The sonic neat blooms. Coming at you.
Neat rose.
You've done a lot of collaborations with other bands. So artistically speaking, is now a good time to be a rock musician?
Is it ever?
Yeah.
Is it ever? Well, we obviously didn't go into the business of money making. So if we were, we're idiots. But we're probably still idiots. But I don't know, time to go into rock, I don't think so, no. I don't think it is at all. To answer your question, pretty
no.
No.
Okay.
But yes.
Depends on what life you were born into.
I mean, was it good for Chuck Berry?
Second time, third life, second life, 80th life. I don't know. It depends on what cosmological level. Like, I don't know.
It's like when they put out Bride of Chucky.
Yeah.
Did they expect ticket sales? No, but it just worked out at the time. Like,
yeah.
I mean,
Leprechaun 4. You know.
And it wasn't so revivalist. You know, it wasn't like trying to, you know, reenact the 80s Chucky or the
right.
90s.
It was just had to happen. You know, like. You know,
but Leprechaun. It had a new, fresh twist, like a bride. There's a different Chucky doll.
Love
cool.
interest, yeah. He fell in love with a woman,
sort of
like a human being too, not another, you know, other doll. It's weird. Shit was weird.
Sometimes it works out.
Yeah.
Okay.
So many different answers going on.
Yeah, I mean, like for instance, when they came out with the Crunch Berries, where it was all berries, you know, like I was ready for it personally, but was the world? I don't know.
And the white chocolate Rice Krispies.
I don't know.
Like, that's just tricking people because it looks just like the regular ones, the plain ones. But
right.
Then it's like,
should we have
chocolate.
Landed on the moon in 1969? I don't know.
Here's the question for you.
71 could have been cool, but.
Say we have the first moon landing, right? And we have film of it. Who filmed it? if he was the first person on the moon, who was the one filming it, holding the camera? You know? Oh,
is this thing on?
Is this thing even on the whole time? Okay, is that, are we good? Okay.
Is
but
it
no, really
down
think about
where
that.
We're at?
Think about that, you know?
No, I meant, there are a lot of bands, and you are collaborating with them. And I mean, there are a lot of ideas.
All I'm basically trying to say is that we're the cameraman on the moon that filmed Neil Armstrong walking onto the moon. We're that cameraman that wasn't there ever. Probably shouldn't have been there in the first place.
Yeah.
So, does that answer your question?
I haven't seen enough reruns.
Okay. Feel free to elaborate.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Is that all?
Hopefully that made some sense.
Okay.
Stay cool in the new world.
Are we going to listen to more of our music?
Yeah.
Cool. I'll hang out.
Okay, tako pogovarjali smo se za sedmo Night Beats, ki bo nocoj skupaj z DJ Elom Loverjem in domačimi The Real Things nastopila v Channel Zero. Koncert se prične točno 15:09, cena vstopnice pa je 10 evrov. Eriš intervju sem pripravil Luka Vučković.
Peace.
Bye.
Bye, bye.
Intervju Radija Študent.